Okay, thank you all for attending this morning. I hope to convince you that field scale studies are excellent studies based on the data I'm going to present. I have 25 years of experience and I've developed a bias on their statistical accuracy, the validity of the economics we can run on it, derived from our agronomic data, and the credibility that it brings to you, the researcher within the farming community. Plus, these experiments are fun to run, and they are getting increasingly easy, which I hope I have time to get. So, the previous speaker said we're going to go back in time. We're going to go way back in time. 1985 Farm Bill. They slipped in conservation compliance, which resulted in a plethora of tillage studies. I was young then, of course, jumped on the bandwagon. And we initiated field-scale studies on four farms, evaluating three tillage systems. Now, this was our farm just east of our research station, and these runs were about 1,200 feet long in length. And we put in 30-foot small plots into these lengths, so I could collect growth analysis data, photosynthesis data, get enough measurements so I could get tenure, which fortunately happened. That year, I brought a way wagon. You know, I was pretty innovative at the time, a Brent 150, 150 bushel capacity, so I could calibrate it and drive around to these farms and get yield data. Well, this was the results from the 86 to 88 study. And you'll see we're able to say mobile plow and ridge till yielded greater than no-till. And for those of you who remember, I reported this. My CV value, coefficient of variation, was 5.5% on this study. I hope that's not too outdated a term. I never see that used anymore. It indicates the precision of the experiment. In the same small plot research, I could only say, when averaged over 3 years, ridge till yielded better than no till. Couldn't say anything else. And the CV on this experiment was 77.5%. So it wasn't as precise. If I ran economic analysis on the small plot study, everything was the same. So I didn't report this. Put this in the JPA, Journal of Production Agriculture, the old journal, where I could say no-till was not economic compared to the other two tillage systems. So we put that aside, and we moved to the mid-90s, where we initiated field-scale studies on four farms evaluating three crops, corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is a field about 1 mile north of our research farm, same farmer, and these runs were about 1,200 feet in length. And a mile to the south, same soil, we had our small plot research. And this was Jeremy Singer's PhD study and part of his master's study. Okay, at this one site, averaged over 3 years, if we look at the corn yields, corn following in the corn, soybean, wheat, clover rotation, yielded the best, better than corn following soybean, which was better than continuous corn. The CV in this experiment was about 4.25%. We had 5 years of data in the small plot research, but we could only pull out that corn yielded best in the corn, soybean, wheat, clover rotation. We couldn't pull it out in the small plot study. And if we compare it across 3 years, the same 3 years as the field scale study, we still couldn't pull it out. CV in this experiment was about 6.5%. So again, not as precise. But it didn't make any difference when we did our economics on the rotation. So I published in both, one in JPA, one in Agronomy Journal, where we said the most economical rotation was the corn-soybean rotation, and again, we were able to pull it out in both experiments. Okay, same time, about the mid-90s, Some of our corn, some of our dairy producers adopted narrow row corn silage. And they were making claims that they were picking up 3 to 4 tons per acre in silage yield. And they only could get that if they added an extra 50 to 7,500 pounds of nitrogen. So they use situational values. We heard about that last night. Dumped excess manure onto these fields and was very happy at getting these high yields. Now, this was the mid-90s. I was in my mid to late 40s. I didn't want to get left behind the curve. I said, everybody's going to be doing narrow row corn. So we purchased a white narrow row planter, 10-foot wide planter, and we did small plot research at our research farm. Evaluated both row spacings, did our old 6 rate to N, and we found a linear plateau response. They both yielded best at 150 pounds of N. We did pick up 1.7 tons in narrow row spacing, but there was no interaction with nitrogen rates. So we said, you're throwing your manure away, you're disposing your manure in an irresponsible way. But small plot study, CV on this was 8.1%. We decided to go to the field where we looked at first-year corn, second-year corn, and continuous corn over 3 years. And the CV on this one was, I think it was 4%, something like that. And we were able to pick out that with 15 inches, you indeed picked up a ton, but if you added a little bit, about 50 pounds of extra N, you still picked up 7/10 of a ton. But they were doubling the residual nitrogen rate. So I threw it back at them. Is the extra 7/10 of a ton worth 21 parts per million of nitrate remaining after harvest compared to 10 parts per million? Let them make the decision. I'm not into ethics. Now we move to twin row corn, about 8 to 9 years ago. Now I'm in my mid-50s. I don't care. I'm getting left behind. So I'm not going to purchase some kind of small plot twin row planter. I'm just going to go to a farmer's field. So we went to a farm, but we had to work with two farmers, side-by-side dairy farmers. And we did twin row compared to 15-inch narrow row and 30-inch row. Now, this experiment, working with two farmers, the CV was 2.5%. It was fabulous. We had four reps, two hybrids, and we were able to pull out differences for all row spacings. I guess what was even better was, the economics, the stakes are higher now. We just can't throw stuff out there. We were talking about $12 soybeans, $6 corn. The stakes are higher. So when I presented my economic analysis, said, you can make an extra $8,000 if you grow 650 acres of corn silage, if you purchase twin row corn plant, I felt pretty confident. I wasn't like saying, geez, I wonder if this is right or not. I had a CV of 2.5%. Same thing with zone tillage or strip tillage. Growers in New York bought into the Rawson method. If it's not 14 inches deep, not happening. You're not going to get a yield response. But then if you recall, Katrina came along, diesel's up to 5. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, 20 years ago we did chisel tillage depth studies on farmers' fields. We found 9 inches was the same as 13 inches. We didn't need to go any deeper, so we conducted a study. Again, not going to do it on small plot research. It's hard to do that type of research. So much easier to let them do the work, and you just take the measurements. So we came out there, and again we had a very high CV value, and it showed that, geez, if you went 7 inches, you didn't get any further response beyond that. You picked up a response by zone tilling or strip tilling to 7 inches, but you didn't need to go any further. So again, when I ran the economics and said, if you reduce your zone tillage depth from 14 to 7, at least based on 2006, 7, whatever the years were, diesel prices, corn silage prices, you're going to pick up an extra $13.35 per acre. Okay, just to show you I'm not totally biased on corn, let's show a little bit on soybeans. Cruisermax or C treatment came out in the mid-2000s, and of course we jumped on that, and we did a C treatment study, 3 planting dates, and we threw in Warrior foliar application because I was working with an entomologist, and he thought it was aphids. If we looked at the response over 2 years, 3 planting dates, we picked up 2 bushels, but non-significant. So I went out the winter of 2007, soybean price was 12, and I said, it's not significant. You don't need to be applying it. And some wise person, farmer, from the audience said, it's significant to me, 2 bushels. And I said, geez, yeah, it is. And then I thought about my small plot research. I forget what the CV was on that. So we decided to do field scale studies. We went to 3 farms. I'll just show you 2 farms. Now we're into the yield monitor age. And, of course, being anti-technology, I ride the combine and take lodging notes, and I'd like to see a change over the length of the plot, but I'm not into yield mapping and all that stuff. So I don't use the yield monitor, because if we use the yield monitor, I'd have to calibrate it. I'm not going to trust it. It's not right. So we bring our yield weigh wagon, mount it on a tractor, and just chase them back and forth the field. These runs were 1,000 feet. There's 16 of them. We did them in 2 hours. And voila! Now, this isn't written up yet, but I will write it up. We were able to pull out differences. 2 bushel yield response using Cruisermax field scale studies. It was significant. It wasn't significant in the small plot studies, but it was significant. Okay, so I hope I've convinced you. Now you realize I pick and chose some data. Convinced you that small plot studies are not as accurate as the field scale studies, or let me put that conversely. Field scale studies, the reason I'm saying this is a lot of people dismiss field scale studies. Well, we don't have control, farmers, you know. I think they're better. You get better accuracy. Number 2, if you're going to run an economic analysis, I think you have a lot of validity in that agronomic data. Number 3, you know, you're out there fumbling with the guys riding the combine. It increases your field cred. It really increases your field cred. Previous speaker indicated that on-farm trials, 45%. That's what they wanted. 18% listened to us, 45% field scale studies. But I think they listened to their neighbors' field scale studies. This is fun. I pick a day in the low 70s, go out, and we walk the entire strip up and down, counting plants. You know, would you rather sit in front of your computer on YouTube, or would you rather be out counting corn plants? Soybeans are a little drag. You got to lean over and pick them. I can't use my weigh wagon anymore. You know, 2,000-foot run, 150 bushel capacity. So we're going with grain carts at 450 bushel capacity, which, you know, I'm a little uneasy with getting the moistures. You know, we're getting like 3,000 pounds of material. Got a young guy up there catching it. You know, we take 2 samples, I don't know. The only thing that I got to really work with the farmers is if they have a couple of pieces of equipment, planters, weigh wagons, I got to make sure that everything is correct, and they just don't like that. Oh, we'll put weigh wagons at both ends. Yeah, okay, this one in rep 1, this one is in rep 2, so we don't confound our results with machinery. So you got to really take care of that. This was the study I didn't like. We had to stake it out in February. Not fun. But they're getting so much easier now. Guidance systems. No more staking. Variable rate. No more sprockets. And getting grease all over you. I just think it's a lot easier to do. And, of course, the information we're going to get in the future, we're just scratching it. Thank you very much.